Hey, you've got Vikitza in your ear, and you're tuned in to KWMR Point Reyes Station.
Well, and good afternoon to everyone out there. It is indeed time for Epicenter here on KWMR. This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. You can hear Epicenter at 5 p.m. on KWMR or listen to recent archives at kwmr.org. Well, I'm Jeff Matson here, engineering in the studio, and I'm going to pass things over to your host this afternoon, our District 4 Supervisor, Dennis Radoni. Good afternoon, Dennis. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Jeff. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Glad to have you here on the airwaves.
Thank you. Yeah, and my guest today is Rosemarie Gaglione, the Director of Marin Department of Public Works. We're going to have this conversation in January, but as you know, we had quite a storm, so we postponed that for a month. But I wanted to welcome Rosemarie to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good. So I know we were going to talk about pavement road conditions, something really exciting for the listener today. But first, Rosemarie, I want to give you an option to talk about any storm damage that you wanted to alert the residents of West Marin to? Or how did the county fare in that 20 days of rain that we had?
You know, considering the amount of water that came down, I think we did pretty good. We had a lot of damage on Bolinas Fairfax and forget the name of the other road, blanking. But we have them protected, and we're putting together construction contracts now, emergency contracts, to go ahead and get everything open again. Our crews did an amazing job.
Terrific. And I know we're probably compiling some estimates so that we can apply for FEMA funding for some of these.
All total, we've got a good probably $10 million. If you look at all of it, if you're looking at our with flood control, with roads, and other things, we've got about $10 million total in damage that we'll be applying to get some money back.
Terrific. Well, thanks for that update. And so let's switch over to the paving road index system discussion. And I know you're an avid biker, so I wondered if you tell the listener what your favorite ride is in West Marin in particular, and does that give you a closer look at our pavement conditions?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I live in Marinwood, so starting over there and going over Lucas Valley Road, and I actually love to go out through Nicasio and Point Reyes, Petaluma Road, and then sort of I like to come back and hit Lucas Valley again, but heading out Point Reyes Petaluma Road, getting out to Point Reyes itself is beautiful, and it is amazing. It's a totally different world when you're on a bike. The first time I went over Lucas Valley Road, it was like, oh my God, you know, looking at some of the cracks in the road, and when you're a cyclist, those are giant canyons. You know, it's nothing when you're in a car. And I do know that Rachel Calvert is looking at things on Point Reyes, Petaluma Road, and other places in West Marin where cyclists are tend to hit a lot, and to see what we can do to make roads better for them.
Terrific. So let's switch gears here and talk about the road rating system that we use and how it works for the county.
Sure. So the rating system we use is the same one that's used all over California. It's the Pavement Conditions Index. You'll hear us talk about PCI. And it just is it's a snapshot of the health of the road, and it ranges from 0 to 100. So 0 would be dirt, and 100 is a newly paved road. And so we get an independent consultant to assess the condition of all of our roads on a two-year cycle. And they assign a score, and they'll go through and they'll look at how many cracks there are in 1,000 feet, and they'll look at the types of cracking and the types of damage that they're seeing, and that helps them to come up with a number. So Right now, our network is in fair condition. We have a PCI of 66 as of January 1st, but we have a lot of paving projects in the queue, so we're hoping to get a lot more pavement on the road this summer.
Do you have an estimate of what you could spend on the roads to bring them up to that index or an index of choice, like 70, say?
I don't have a number on that, but it's pretty expensive. If we went up to 70, we're probably talking, I'm just going to give a guesstimate on the order of $30 or more million.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then, but the thing is, while we're paving and fixing some, others are aging. So.
Sure. And then why don't you talk about the DPW roads program, historically, how you've done it, and then what you're transitioning to in terms of a new look with the sealing program and other things you're looking at.
Yeah, so in the past, the approach was to give a sort of a blend of roads that were really bad that needed to be reconstructed, and then trying to keep up some of the roads that were in better shape. But what we're doing now is we're really looking at preserving the pavement and also providing a better driver and rider experience for bicycles. So looking for opportunities to just prolong the useful life of a road, looking at why it's failing. So if it has some patchwork and cracked and it's got some sunken areas, it might be put on a list for repaving in the past, but now we can actually do some isolated repairs. We can do a micro mill where we actually just shave off a thin layer of asphalt and smooth that out, and maybe cover it with some rubberized chip seal to make it stronger and to repel water, and then coat that with a slurry seal for a smoother ride, especially for bikes. So what we can do is we can, with the money that we have, we can improve 4 to 10 times as many miles of road as if we just look at repaving. And so what we have to do is we're looking now at not just the cost of a project, but the cost per year of extra life that you get from a certain treatment. And there's so much new stuff out there, and so we have a really wonderful pavement engineer who looks at all of those things and then decides what is the best treatment for the money that will get the most life for this road.
And for the listening audience, I think just they know that Platform Bridge and Nacasco Valley Road, which received a sealing program this last year, so they can recognize where that's going on their travels. Talk about a little bit about the cost of each resealing, repaving. And I know you may mention, too, that our roads crew now are doing more asphalt work, and they're allowed to do up to an inch, I think, of removal and replacement. So maybe how all those compare in terms of costs and certainly benefits of the PCI.
Yes, so our road crews, so folks may not realize this, but the state of California limits what work our maintenance crews can do. We have no limit on maintenance, but the type of paving jobs and certain projects we can do are limited by state law. So we can do paving projects ourselves up to 1 inch. If we go more than that, we're required to put it out to bid for contractors to compete for it. And it truthfully, if you get down into bigger jobs, it is more cost effective to have companies come out who just do nothing but that all the time. But if we look at paving, we can seal a road for the slurry seal for about $3 a square yard. And if it's really bad, it's more expensive. It will cost up to maybe $14 a square yard. But paving is about $24 a square yard. And if we really have to take out pavement and replace it, that's $75 a square yard. So if we can get ahead of some of this and do the $3 a square yard type seals early enough, or the $24 a square yard seal early enough, we can put off that much more expensive project further down the road. So it's interesting, but, you know, asphalt, one of the biggest enemies of asphalt are sun and water. and that's what they're out in all the time, one or the other. And so the right ceiling project really makes a big difference. So if we were to look at taking $1 million, it might fund maintenance for 15 miles of a good roadway versus 1 mile of failed roadway. So that's the other thing, is the timing of when we do something. It's kind of like if you're going to replace the roof, a few shingles on your house, if they're leaking, or maybe you're going to wait until the water's coming in the house and it's a much more expensive repair. It's sort of a similar thing. We try to get it while it's still economical.
Great. And so this movement to resealing is kind of a new approach or a different approach for the county. You know, what made you take this approach and your staff recommend this approach? And you kind of mentioned this. What are the benefits to the county and the residents?
So it made from a purely engineering sense, it made sense to say, okay, if we let certain roads deteriorate all the way and then we'll come back and completely rebuild them because we have to do that anyway, we can do that while we fix some of these other roads that aren't as bad. We've given presentations to the board that show at a 20 or 30 year mark, you actually have some better conditions. However, the public has to ride over roads that are in horrible condition for a long time. And I doubt any of them are thinking, well, if I keep going on this horrible road, it's okay because statistically we're going to have, you know, another 2-point improvement in our PCI in 20 years if I suffer through this. So we want to address as many concerns as we can and make as many noticeable improvements as we can. And so we want to think about not only cars, we want to look at cyclists and see how their experience is. And we just know that we have to keep up with the new things that are coming out. I mean, there are some amazing sealants, and we don't have to stick with just the same old, you know, grind and pave and spend the people's money in a way that we're not really thinking about. You know, we need to think about those dollars and make sure that we're making the best use of them.
No, I appreciate that. That makes total sense. How do you decide, again, which roads get sealed, the seal program? And then do you annually decide if roads are in a position that would benefit from sealing and add them on the list? So how do you decide the resealing program?
So part of that is with the Street Saver program, we have the consultant entering in all of these conditions, and then we would filter those, and our engineer would go out and look. And so when she does that, she's going to say, well, these roads, really, I mean, there's some minor cracking, there's some other things. If I put a really good sealant on this, I can get another 10 years out of this road. And so that would mean that this goes on a list to be sealed. And then roads can move to the top of the list because, well, they're really either really bad or we're doing other work nearby. So a road that might not have been scheduled for another 3 years, we're going to move it to now because we're doing another road nearby. And if we can get more of that work group together, then that makes a lot more sense. It's sort of like if you want to replace, you know, your fence, you don't replace this little piece and go to the opposite corner of your yard and do a little piece and then go to another corner. You sort of want to stay in one place, finish that, and move through. We might also have situations where utilities are doing work, and then utilities can actually make a contribution towards repaving if we're going to be out there. Otherwise, there's a lot of work that they would have to do to bring the road up to standard again. And if the road already needs a lot of work, it just makes more sense to go ahead and pave it. So there's a number of reasons why a road might come up. And then sometimes, you know, there may be a project that we're doing. We might have a grant project for signals or something like that, and we would want to combine work together.
So you may have mentioned this, Rosemary, but when does a road move into the paving program, and is that a PCI that drives that, or is it sort of physically assessing the road every every time you do that two-year program?
So we go out, and it's a rolling five-year list, but it's not all paving. So some of that will have paving, and some of that will have sealants. And yet for the when we go in and either grind and pave, that means that the PCI is too low for a sealant to help. And then if we go in for deeper grinds or complete reconstruction, it means that you have a PCI of maybe, remember, 100 is new and 0 is dirt. So, and we want to be at 70 ideally. But if you have a road that has a PCI of 30 or 40, some sealing is not going to, it's not going to make that better. We're also looking at, you know, traffic volumes and how much a road is used, because a road that's heavily used, once it gets to a certain point of deterioration, it's going to deteriorate a lot faster if there's a lot more traffic than otherwise. So there's a whole slew of things that, that go into considering when it's time to go ahead and put that road on the full pavement list.
Yep, and I fully appreciate that, because I think sometimes our residents alert us of road conditions. And I know recently, because of the flexibility in the program, some of the roads in the San Geronimo Valley that weren't going to get done for a number of years have been moved higher in the priority. And that's certainly something welcome there in that community. So thank you for having that flexibility. And I think it really means a lot to those people who drive over those neighborhood roads all the time. Let's talk Go ahead.
No, you're right. And sometimes those computer programs aren't exactly right. So when people do call us and alert us to something that may have been deteriorating much faster than we thought, so that's great.
Let's talk a little bit about funding, how your road projects are funded. I know there's several sources, but I wonder if you can just kind of talk about that a little bit and how you do your road program and how you pay for it.
Sure. We get funding from a lot of different pots of money. There's TAM, Measure AA, and they also have a Measure B. There's SB1, which is gas tax. There's our general fund, which contributes every year. There's a Cal Recycle grant. So when we use rubberized asphalt, we get $300,000 a year from Cal Recycle. And then there's the Federal Highway Safety Improvement Program. Marin, there's various transportation grants, and then there's the federal lands program.
Terrific. Yep. And then the rubberized grant program, I think we've done one project maybe in Dillon's Beach with that program. Do you recall that?
Yeah, I think we did. And we also have, we're applying for another round of money to do this, to do that as well.
Terrific. And then the grind and reuse in place is a common practice now also?
Yes, as much as possible. And that's usually the reuse in place is for larger and deeper projects, because you need that full, it's like a factory on wheels making that happen.
Terrific. I get this question all the time, so I thought I'd pose it to you. Many of our major roads are many years before they're repaved, and sometimes they degrade a lot. One example that my constituents talk about all the time is Point Reyes Petaluma Road, for example. And that's been many years in the process, and it actually has been moving around a little bit and moving out. I wondered if you could talk a little bit of some of those challenges that caused that to happen. And I know you've, in the meantime, you've done some maintenance work on Point Reyes Petaluma Road to compensate for that delay.
Sure. Well, there's a lot of reasons roads can get delayed, but, you know, the most typical are budget, environmental, or utility conflicts. So we might have a road listed with, you know, a really high-level cost estimate, meaning we've done an analysis, but it's very, it's not deep. We haven't gone out and done corings or done a full design. And then we get out there and we find out that there are things that we need to do, and the design turns out to be a more expensive project once we really get into it. It's sort of like you think you're going to replace a couple of boards on your house and you find some wood rot, and now you're into a bigger project. It's the same. And then when you look at Point Reyes Petaluma Road, it has several culverts that need to be replaced, and that process can take a long time because of all the environmental because it either end of those culverts, you're going to have some water loving plants and water loving species. And also the road is built on softer materials that tend to settle and shift, and that would accelerate the early failure of new asphalt. So that road is going to receive various interim condition improvement treatments starting this spring. The section between Platform Bridge Road and Point Reyes is tentatively scheduled for culvert replacement next year and an interim condition improvement treatment the following year. Our road crews have done a great job of patching, and this road will be a good candidate for road smoothing as part of a multi-step treatment project. So when we talk about interim condition improvements, we're talking about those, you know, patching and thick seals, and then covered by slurry seals.
Good. And you mentioned one of the funding sources is the Federal Highway Program. And because we have federal parks that are fed by county roads, we're often able to benefit from that. You want to talk a little bit about that Federal Highway Program and maybe a project or two that we've benefited from and some that may be coming?
So the Federal Lands Access Program, what we call the FLAP, it was established to improve transportation facilities that provide access to or are adjacent to or located within federal lands. So that supplements state and local resources for public roads and even transit systems and other transportation facilities. And it has an emphasis on the high-use recreation sites. So it's funded through the Highway Trust Fund, and it's subject to various limitations. And then funds are allocated among the states. There's a formula based on road mileage, number of bridges, et cetera. Right now, there is not an active call for projects, but we're monitoring for new information. We did complete a successful grant project on Sir Francis Drake at the Point Reyes Lighthouse, and we're in the design phase for a 2.5-mile segment of Muirwood Frank Valley Road, and also in the design phase for Pierce Point Road. And we are currently also requesting more grant money to extend the entire length of Pierce Point Road.
Can you tell us what the cost share is for these projects for the FLAP program?
Yeah, it's really nice. The FLAP pays 88.53%, and it leaves us with a match of only 11.47%. So it's a real bargain for us.
And only roads that are associated with park lands are eligible. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Very good, because we also have federal highway programs that we do bridge work with. So I wanted to make sure the public understood that this is a FLAP program with an L, lands, and that's related to having parks that are served by our county roads. And want to comment a little on the federal highway program that actually does the bridge programs?
So we have about 5 bridges actively in play within the bridge program, and it's federal money. It comes through Caltrans. They administer it to us. And one of the biggest problem is there's not enough money in it, right? So what happens when you get a bridge that they also rate the bridges at up to, you know, it doesn't go 0 to 100 because I guess there'd be no bridge. But when you get down to, say, a condition rating of 70, you're eligible for certain repair monies, and under 50, you're eligible for replacement. And they also will pay 88.53% of the cost of bridge replacement, and our match is 11.47%. Bridge work is really expensive. You look at about $300 per square foot of deck. So you can just imagine how much that can get to cost. And in some cases, certain bridges were able to get 100% funding. So we're in the design and environmental phases of about 5 bridges, and we're just waiting for the federal government to refill that bucket so that we can go ahead and move forward.
Are you of the opinion that the federal infrastructure package would likely refill that bucket for those federal highway projects?
We're hoping, because one of the things that often happens with a lot of the grant monies and the programs that come out, they fund new things, but don't always put enough money into maintaining what we already have. And so I like to explain it to people like it's your house, and that if the water heater doesn't work anymore, would you want someone to come along and give you a grant for a new lawnmower, or would you like a new water heater, right? So all of the dust hasn't settled, I think, in how all of the money is going to go. So I can't answer that, but I certainly hope that they would put more money into that program.
I'm hopeful, and I certainly believe it's a great program, and hopefully that's where much of that money will go to. So the Sir Francis Drake Y to the Lighthouse project, I think, was about $40 million. How would the county ever do a project like that without the FLAP program supporting 88% of it?
Yeah, I don't know how we would ever do that, Dennis. I mean, we'd have to do nothing else for a number of years. I mean, if you figure our getting about $8 million for all of our roads every year, that would mean that for, about 5 years, we would just do that road.
Yeah, I think it just further demonstrates the benefits of having a neighbor that's federal land, for sure. Great, and I know the Frank Valley Road in Muir, going to Muir Woods is one that's on next on our list, and I know that community, I'm not sure they're listening to KWMR, always been very curious about when that might happen. So I think it's on the list. It's so delayed, like projects often are. It does take some time through the FLAP program to get these projects to actually construction. And I believe that DPW has been very patient working on these projects, because often they do get delayed. Any comments about that?
No, you know, it's a great partnership. And I know that we recently brought an item to your board, increasing our match, because some of the next projects on the list, the federal government had a lot of projects in California that ended up underestimated, right? Because there's a lot of things here that may cost more than they would in another state, and maybe a state where you don't have to worry about any environmental issues, and or maybe they don't have the beauty that we have that we need to protect here. But for whatever reason, they underestimated, and some more money needed to be put in. And they've stepped up and put in their part. Your board stepped up and put the match forward. And so my understanding is they are back moving full steam ahead on these.
Good. Yeah, and it's pretty hard to pass up federal contribution, even if you do have to come out of pocket a little bit more. I think we did that on the Sir Francis Drake project, and certainly willing to do that probably again if we have to, because these projects are so important to us overall.
Absolutely.
I know Fairfax Bolinas Road is reopened, and there may be some partial lane closures there.
Yes, we have a light, you know, that sort of limits. It's one way. There's an area where it's one down to one lane, and we have that one lane traffic control. We have it all protected, and then we're getting a construction contract together, an emergency contract to get that fixed. We were just speaking with a consultant on our FEMA application on that road and some others yesterday.
Good. And I know this isn't your road, but Caltrans did tell me today that the slide or the failure, culvert failure, I think just north of Marshall, is under director's orders for emergency repair. So that work out there should start pretty quickly because of that. So I just want to let the listeners know. Rosemary, is there anything else you want to tell the listeners tonight?
No, I'd just like to say I'm thrilled to be here as your public works director. I'm honored, and this is a beautiful, wonderful place. I enjoy it very much. Please let us know if you have an issue that we can help with. Let us know if you see something crazy out there on the road we might have missed. We've got to get our people out there to fix. And we do appreciate your support.
All right, and thank you, and thanks for thanking the crews for their storm work. Many, many hours went into that, I know. So thank you, Rosemary, and good to have you. We'll have you back again in a few months.
All right, thank you, Dennis.
Epicenter is a series dedicated to West Marin news and information. If you have ideas for topics, email programming at kwmr.org, and you can stream audio